Thank you. Hello, everyone. I'm pleased to be here to talk about another way to get open source project or open source companies founded. Maybe it's one of the most controversial way to do it, but I'd like to share with you some information and some ideas to get better with this option, you know. I'm Stefano Pampaloni. I'm the vice president of RIOS, the Italian Network of Open Source Companies, and we are part of APEL, the European Association of National Association and Networks. Sorry. Okay. So what we are talking about, venture capitalists are, can be both an opportunity, but even a serious threat for the freedoms and open source software, because venture capitalists operates in a high risk, and then they are expecting high revenues deal, you know, and so it's not so simple to align the needs of the open source companies to maintain their freedoms and openness together with the needs of getting an higher amount of money. So the question is, can we align these different needs? Doesn't work. Okay. So let me start with analyzing the interest of one and the other side. Why an open source company is, when I say open source, I mean often here open source companies, okay? Because venture capitalists invest in companies because they usually, or technically speaking, venture capitalists wants to have the shares of the companies. So it's not possible to have venture capital invest in association or other kind of entities. So they bring money to a company, but even competencies like the previous funds, because of course it's important to have competencies, relationship to build a growing project around every software and even around open source software. And so they are able to accelerate especially the marketing activities, the sales activities, somehow even the innovation, even though open source is able to innovate itself quite well. And why they are interested, the venture capital interested in open source? Well, today open source is everywhere, even in the enterprise market with huge amount of money. And especially in Europe, we have opportunity thanks to the interest in digital sovereignty and the opportunity to mix and match private and public resources. Moreover, we already have success cases with venture capitalists investing in open source. I have analyzed some data, and here we have two charts reporting the status of of these activities. It's not simple because every day I discover new ventures, new investments, so it's very dynamic. But we can, however, find some patterns in these data. And now I need my water. And as you can see, we have the majority of the VCs quite small. Pre-seed, seed, and Series A are defined by the dimension of the investment. So the majority of the investment is quite small, but we, however, we have some good and important cases with a huge amount of money. On the other side, we have the geographical distribution, and of course, the majority is based in US. But recently has emerged a quite good dynamic market in the EU, especially in France, Germany, and UK. Here I have a couple of references, three. Names. OSS Capital is fully dedicated to open source or commercial open source companies, and well, they have invested in a lot of open source companies. And here we can discuss a lot if all these are open source or not, but let me analyze later this this issue. Y Combinator is the biggest incubator for startups in the world, and has dozens of open source companies in its portfolio. And Sequoia Capital, instead, is maybe one of the biggest venture capital firm in the world, and is not dedicated only in open source, but has invested a lot in many, many big deals with open source companies. Doesn't work. Oh, okay. So let me take a look at the past and trying to find the success in this deal. I have prepared a list of great success with venture capitalists and open source firms. Do you agree with this list? Oh, sorry, I've missed a part of the sentence. From the VC perspective, we have a list of great success. Because as you can see here, the investment, so the funds raised by the companies, are always quite small. It's not really small because we are somewhere around $1 billion, but compared to the market capitalization, so the value of the current value of these companies, there is a huge difference. So I point this, but it is not it's not correct. So the aggregate value is 2.7 billion as money raised, and a capitalization of $91 billion. So we are more than 30 multiples. Of course, from the VC perspective, these are for sure a great success. And so they can continue to invest and put money in open source companies. On the other side, let me list, let me show a list of failures. Yes, it's the same list, because from the open source community and the openness, those are for sure failure. Maybe not totally, but let me discuss about it later. I have partially removed Confluent and GitLab because I'll discuss about it later, and I think it's not so bad at all, and let's see later. So as you know, many of the companies initially open source or pure open source, Elastic started as a pure open source project and a company were based on totally Apache 2 license products. But during his path, as all the others, except let me say Red Hat, because Red Hat has not changed the license, but somehow has restricted the availability of its product for free, so it's roughly the same. All the other has moved to a more restrictive license, and at the end, not open source as OSI has defined it. So, one question here. Are we sure that the VC are this issue comes directly from the VC? Here we have a chart reporting the average time between the IPO, the initial public offering, so the process to be listed to the stock exchange, and the license change to a non-open source license. The oldest companies shifted after the IPO in few months, let me say, and the youngest shifted in advance, probably because they saw the other companies and decided to anticipate the move. So, technically speaking, it's the IPO or the need to quarterly report revenues and increase of the revenues to push those companies to change the license and to leave the open source as we want to be. So it's mainly related to the pressure of the revenue coming from the market instead of the VC directly, because the VCs usually has plan for a long time, so they are not pushing so much the revenue. However, on the other side, the choice to move to an IPO is led by the VC. So indirectly, however, they are responsible of what happened. Let me see what happened deeply in that cases, because for me we already have something good even from the open source community in that cases. The first one is that today we have no evidence that the the shift of the license, the relicensing, has produced benefit for the companies. So we can tell to the VC and to the market, it's not useful to restrict the product. You can leave open source and go ahead. So this is quite interesting. The other good news is that is about the community resilience, because in many of that cases, the communities reacted with the fork. And so, and we have OpenSearch, OpenTofu, OpenBao, Valky, and those projects are quite are running quite well today. And so we have another benefit. Today we have great full open source. Thank you. Full open source products, maybe thanks, or for sure, may thanks to the investment, to the initial investment of VC in the in that companies. Of course, it's not the perfect way we'd like to do these things, but at the end of the day, we can count this benefit even in that, let me say, failure example. So let me summarize the risks. The market pressure leads usually to the license changes, and even worse, this move betrayed the community trust. So this is another bad side effect, because we risk to lose the trust in the open source project. The growth at all costs mindset is not usually conflict with the sustainable development of open source projects. So we are always fighting between these needs, and the tension, usually tension arises between community and the business side, you know. What we can do, because I'd like to leave you with some proposal and not just a simple analysis of what has happened. I've listed three, but I'm open to discuss with you in a few minutes other opportunity. I've listed three options we can have, we can try to push to solve or to reduce the risk we have seen with the VC investments. The first one is trying to align and to mix the profit and the purpose. We have some initiatives like Open Core Venture, a VC firm that required to define in the chart of the companies to maintain the license open, and this is this is defined as a public benefit in the B Corp under the B Corp movement. How many of you knows about B Corp, benefit corporations? Benefit corporation at the end, my colleagues, my company is a benefit company. So benefit corporation defined together with the profit as a goal, other goals for the public benefit. And open source and maintaining open source projects can be one of these. Open Core Venture require to the company they are going to invest to modify their chart and guarantee that open source, the project will remain open source. We have another example of pairing profit and leading the investment through the purpose. Technically speaking, UNICEF fund is not a venture capitalist because they are equity free, so they don't require it, they don't acquire the shares. But I'd like to mention it because it's a great example of pairing public benefits and purpose with the investment in open source projects. So they require it to be open source and to have a high impact on, or potentially high impact on challenges for children. Another way to minimize or to get better with VC is to mix public and private funds, or to have a public venture capitalist invest in open source. In Italy, we have CDP Venture. They are not investing in open source yet, but I hope, or well, I think they have a couple of companies, but they don't have yet vertical funds to do that. But it can be a perfect example of public money invested in open source, and they can require to maintain open source to the public benefit. And maybe the Sovereign Tech Fund can think about the venture capitalist activities in the future. In the previous talk, I gave a talk a couple of hours ago in a totally different scenario. I proposed to reduce taxes for open source investment, so we can create a law to reduce taxes for those venture capitalists investing in open source, maintaining open source freedoms, you know. I'm fighting with these two. The last option I'd like to share with you is leveraging foundations. Foundations are doing a great job to lead the open source projects, to provide open governance to that project, but today they are not raising capitals for the projects, and well, we can think about placing the core of open source project under, I didn't mention Core Ventures, the first example I gave to you has been created by the founder of GitLab. And in fact, GitLab is still open source or open core, but we have the core under the OSI license. Even GitLab is listed to the stock exchange, so we have some good example of venture capitalists investing in open source and maintaining it open source. I mentioned GitLab because the other exemption of my list of the bad cases Confluent. Confluent shifted to a non-OSI license, But Confluent has built its product on top of Kafka. And Kafka is Apache, is under the Apache Foundation. So we are guaranteed that at least the core cannot be changed. So this is a not perfect solution, but it's good. I'd like to address you to be careful with a single vendor company totally owning a project, because it's the risk is very high. In this case, we can be guaranteed that at least the core cannot be changed, and so we don't care about what will happen to Confluent. And I have even another ambitious proposal for the future. What do you think about creating something like open source investment forum? Just 5 minutes. Yes, I am at the end. So a place maybe managed by a foundation where VCs, startups, and public and private stakeholder can work together to define the best practices, to maintain the openness, but at the same time to drive the investment to the open source projects. This is just an idea, and I'd like to discuss about it with you. And the conclusion, of course, it's really difficult to align the VC investment with the open source of sustainability, but we have some opportunity through good governance models, strong communities, and a well-defined plan to build this solution and to reduce the risk of the project. So I'm at the end. I'm here to answer your question, just 3 minutes or something like that. And yeah, my contacts are here. Okay. One question.
If we leave aside Red Hat, I'm under the impression that all VC-funded open source companies were open core. So from your experience, and that's my question, so I'm already answering, I mean, is it a no-go to go discuss with venture capitalists, regular venture capitalists, if you have a JPL-based model, you know, based on subscription and warranty, you know, like the usual JPL model? Would they even listen to you, or is it not worth it?
Well, the question is, most of the cases, maybe all of that cases, are related to open core model, or at least permissive licenses. And it's really, the question is it possible to have venture capitalists investing in GPL and strong copyleft licenses? Of course, is very, very difficult. I have in mind some cases, but with small investment and technically speaking, not venture capitalists, because we have some nuance of the players. So if we speak about equity investment, it's quite hard. It's much more easier with Apache license, and even much more for them to invest in a well-defined IP, intellectual property resources, you know. There is a case related to the trademarks, because it's not just a matter of license. In fact, the market has not recognized the value of the shift of the license, because after a few years, nothing changed in the stock value after the license change. But the ownership of the trademark, and so I didn't mention another details about Kafka and Confluent. The name are different. We have Kafka with his own logo and trademark, and we have Confluent with its own intellectual property and trademarks. When, as in Elasticsearch, for example, we have the same name as the company, or Mongo that changed the name of the company to pair the name of the products, the risk is really high, because they can block, they can change the license, and the community has to fork changing the name, starting from the ground. So maybe differentiating the trademarks and the code and the name of the code, the project can balance the risks.
Thank you. Ex-venture capitalist, when it's not for startups. I have done before, maybe not that regular, because I closed them and there are not all the businesses around. Well, my question is, like, did you try to estimate the share of VC funded startups?
Runa Capital.
Runa Capital.
It's one of the most important venture capitalists for open source, and they have an index of open source, interesting open source. We are not. I'm expecting a dinner, of course, for this. We didn't agree before, in advance.
I agree. Sorry. That in 2020. But the question is, like, out of, like, you mentioned companies which changed the license, but did you try to estimate the share of companies, of, like, all VC companies, all VC startups which changed the license? Because it seems like, well, as VCs, like, all together, we founded at least a few thousands of open source startups over the last 20 years. No. But there are just a few examples where the license was changed, and even then, like, it's kind of, it's a debatable question, like, was it that bad? Open source community still got
value,
especially
yeah,
given the
continuity
of the
floor.
Wow.
I think this is good to have this conversation.
Okay.
The time is up. Next speaker is coming.
Okay.
Thank you very much.